This is one of those chapters that is much quoted. There are different verses in this chapter that are quoted by different people for different things. And we have a number of ideas in this chapter that are perhaps not unique, but they are ones that are very hard to live out. As we are going day by day, and we are trying to walk in Christ's footsteps, we're trying to act like Christians, right? We talked about that a few weeks ago. If we could just act like Christians, it would be a good thing. As we're trying to act like Christians, we do the things that we think we should do. We read God's word and we try to understand it. But I think sometimes we fail because of the not taking heed to this chapter, specifically in regards to the spirit of truth and the spirit that has come from God. This is the thing that we need to be careful to know, that we are walking in the spirit of God, not in our own spirit, our own desires, our own lusts and plans, but that we are walking after the Spirit. And when we listen to those explaining God's word, that we are listening, trying them and what they are saying based not upon our own desires, feelings, what we're used to, but rather checking, does this line up with God? Does this line up with God? Obviously, you and I, if we know Jesus as Savior, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. But we cannot rely upon our own internal monologue to figure out what is true, what is right. We need something that is a bit of a sure foundation, as we just sang. The Word of God tells us of God. It explains to us who God is, and if we understand who God is, then we will understand when He is speaking through others to us. So we'll begin reading there in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." We could spend weeks unpacking just this one verse, and we could pull up how many examples of people who walk just completely taken by every single wind of doctrine that comes past them, who claim that they are doing what the Spirit has told them to do, or preach that, you know, God has given me a special message, a revelation. And we are not told to just believe everyone who claims to be speaking for God. Instead, we are to try, that is, to weigh out whether those spirits truly are from God. And then we are given the warning that there are many false prophets. Now, I've read this verse I don't know how many times, and I've often thought about the we need to try the spirits, and how do we do that? What does it look like? And we'll see a few instructions on how to do that as we go through the rest of this passage. But what I want us to notice is that word many. It's a small word, many false prophets. It's not just that there's one or two people who might claim to be speaking for God, or claim that they're serving God, or claim that they understand a passage, who have a take on it that is maybe a little bit off, but rather that there are many false prophets. There are many spirits of Antichrist, as it were, gone out into the world. Many. That means we need to be on guard. We need to be skeptical of those who are claiming to be from God first. And then, once it's been proven true, then accept. Unfortunately, Christians have the... many people say of Christians that they're gullible. You know, it's easy to take advantage of Christians because, you know, they believe in an imaginary friend and all of that kind of thing. And unfortunately, many Christians will world take anything that anyone ever tells them, especially if they wrap it up and pretend that it is spiritual. If they make it sound kind of spiritualized, then that's good enough. We'll swallow it. Or if it is got a verse attached to it, then it must be right. But here we find that there are many false prophets gone out into the world. Many. Not one, not two, not a handful, not a few now and a few later, but many different ones who have gone out. And God wants us to be on guard, protected, defended, have the armor on. We need to be ready to try the spirits. How do we try the spirits? Well, verse 2 gives us our first hint, and that is we find out what the message is. So we don't look for someone who has power to accomplish things. This is what the Jews looked for. Remember, they looked for a sign. They looked for a sign. So if someone was able to do a miracle, then that meant they must be right. Jesus even used their reliance upon this in performing of miracles and saying, "Don't believe me, believe the works that I've done." Not just because they were miraculous works, but because they were good. And they lined up with God's character of holiness, righteousness, love, long-suffering. It matched up with who God was. Jesus used their belief in the miraculous to prove that he was a prophet, that he was speaking from God. We, when we come to trying the spirits, that is, how things are being presented to us, things that are so-called spiritual, we need to listen to the message of them. In verse 2 it says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." A specific message is one that is necessary, a message that lines up with reality, one that lines up with what we find in Scripture. Not a verse, but the whole concept of Jesus Christ come in the flesh. This is one way of showing that this is a true spirit, that is a spirit come from God rather than teaching of Antichrist. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Notice there's a lot of specifics here. This spirit is saying, is making a testimony that it is Jesus Christ, not just that Messiah will come. That's what the Jews understood from the Old Testament. Not just that Augeas was a good person, but that Jesus is the Messiah and is come in the flesh and is of God. There's a number of points there that all had to line up. If any one of those was missing, you would have a very different Jesus and a very different faith. If Jesus was not a person, but was rather just a manifestation of God, like the Gentiles would often describe their gods coming down and taking on the form of a person, not the body of a person, but the form of a person, and pretending to be something that they are not. That is a very different thing than what Jesus did. He was born, he grew, and he died. Very human. And he was an individual, not just a representation of God. He was very God. He also was sent from God. This is an important fact to know. Jesus didn't come as a man who just sort of earned his way to respectability in God's sight. But he is the Christ, the one promised before the foundation of the world to take away the sins of his people. This is Jesus the Christ. And that he had come in the flesh and come of God, that is, with God's power. All of these points add up to a very specific Jesus and a very specific ability to bring salvation. If there is someone claiming spirituality and not claiming Christ Jesus, Savior, God, man, then they are not speaking from God. Whatever insight they have has been whispered in their ear by the devil or his legions, not by God. We have then to see that there are spirits of Antichrist that are already in the world. Now, today there is much talk, especially in Christian circles, about how it seems like we're getting close. I've heard this before, I think, that we're getting close to the end. We are in the last days. Even Paul proclaimed that loudly. We are in the last days. We are in the last days. It could be before I die that Christ comes. And that is still true. There is nothing preventing Jesus from coming again, and there is nothing preventing those last day events from occurring. But as we are looking at that and focusing in on it, often will come up the discussion, oh, who is the Antichrist? What's their name? What kind of position? Is it going to be the Pope, or is it going to be a political leader, or is it going to be... And we'll go through all kinds of discussions about who the Antichrist is, or if the spirit of Antichrist is at work today. And here in verse 3, we find that the spirit of Antichrist is already come and is already in the world. The attitude, the understanding, and the spiritual oppression that will lead to the Antichrist's spirit, that is, his attitude and actions, and will indwell him, is already present at this very time. What is it that the spirit of Antichrist will say? Well, the spirit of Antichrist says that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh and is not of God. In other words, contradicts what is very clearly laid out for us in Scripture concerning Jesus Christ, his person, and his actions here on earth. If Jesus Christ was just a man, or Jesus Christ was not sent from God, or if Jesus Christ didn't have a body, in any of those areas, we do not have salvation. But we can try the spirits and see where they fall short. They fall short because they do not speak from God. We then find that we are not to be in fear, and we'll just quickly summarize verses 4 and 5, that we are not to be in fear. We have God on our side. We can overcome no matter how powerful the Spirit is. It is even possible for us to, as we mentioned, I think it was last week, approach to the gates of hell and carry away and free the captives from the very gates of hell. This is the power and the authority that God hands to us in these things. So we should not see this and say, oh, well, the spirit of Antichrist is already here, and we then should just give up. Because how can we fight against these powerful spirits, against all of the lies and confusion that is being sown on every single side, and all of the false prophets? In other words, we're not to have the attitude of, oh, wait, is it Elisha or Elijah? I always get it mixed up. The one who sat down after being on the mountain and calling down fire, Elijah. I always get those two mixed up. Elijah. After Elijah called down fire from heaven and shown that God was God indeed in front of everyone, then he sat down at the bottom of the hill under a plant and said, kill me now. Woe is me. There's no one else with me. It's just me all alone. And we might think, oh, there's only a handful of us, and then there are many false prophets. There's many people declaring the lies of the devil, and proclaiming it as if they were Christians, as if they were speaking for God and for Christ, how can we stand? How can we conquer? Is it worth it? And we have the answer there in verses 4 and 5, that God is with us. We are His little children. We can overcome because God is greater. He is greater not only than you and I, but He is greater than the devil and all the angels all put together. He is greater than the whole world declaring they want to do something. If you don't think that God is greater than the world, I would just remind you of the Tower of Babel. All people were coming together to shake their fist in the face of God and to build a tower so that they could be remembered forever. And God not only caused the building of that place to stop, but He also caused the people to leave such that there is only rumors of stories about this Tower of Babel spread around. We don't know its exact location. We don't know how high they built. We don't know the people who were involved. And there is no one centered around that tower today, because God is more powerful than the whole world united against Him. This then brings us to verse 6, where we have another insight into how we can stand against that which is the false spirits, how we can try the spirits. In verse 6 it says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now I know I started out earlier in the message and said, well, we can't just rely upon the Holy Spirit in our hearts to ensure that we never make a misstep. But we can rely upon the Holy Spirit to convince us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We can rely upon the Holy Spirit to seal us to that day when we will stand before Christ. And the Spirit calls out to our spirit so that we know that we are the sons of God. We know that we have found the truth because it is working in us. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. That's the answer that Christians have. We know God and we know His voice because we are one of His. Because He is inside of us and His Spirit echoes to our spirit, you are a child of God. This gives us great confidence in our understanding and our direction towards Him. We can tell if it is the spirit of truth or the spirit of error because we know the true one. I want us to notice here that while the Scripture is a foundation that we should base our life on, yet it is our God who is truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The only reason the Word of God is so steadfast is because it is coming from God. It is not a formulation of words that is somehow unique and established on its own, but it is the source of these words that makes it so powerful. It is the source of the words, and that source is one of truth. There is no error in God. There is no shadow of turning. He is true. This gives us great confidence in the word that He has given to us. Not only did He promise to us that His word would be sufficient for our needs, but also He has promised to us that He would preserve His word for us, that we would be able to access it. This is a great and precious promise. If it weren't for God's promise that His word would stand, we would be silly to believe that the Scripture was anything more than a collection of words. But because God promised, and because it is His backing. If you will, he signed on the end of it and said, this is me. This is from me. He's given us in the Scripture many ways of proving that the Scripture is true. He has given us ways of proving that prophets came from him in the Old Testament. And we today need to be careful not to just accept anything that anyone says about the Word of God and just say, oh yeah, the Bible said these two words together, therefore that means this guy is right. But instead we need to try the spirits, make sure they are from God, make sure they are lined up to underline, to emphasize Jesus Christ as Savior and him all in all. Many old-time preachers would say, you can find Jesus on every line in the Bible. I'm not sure if I found him in some of the books like Numbers where you have a list of like 100 names and you're like, okay, where's Jesus in this line? Let me see. But you should be able to find in Scripture that Jesus Christ is central. That Jesus Christ's coming was the focal point of all history. And that Jesus Christ's death and resurrection is the foundation for our walk with God. This you should be able to find in Scripture. And if you have found that to be true, you know that the Spirit of God wants you to understand it. And anyone who confesses something else, they are wrong. They have the spirit of Antichrist, not the Spirit of God. As we come to a conclusion then, we need to try the spirits. We need to assess whether what we are being told is true when we are being told this is a spiritual thing or it's coming from God. Because God is not going to contradict himself. He is true. He is without any error. And we know something is true when it is speaking of Christ Jesus appropriately. This is perhaps the foundational or the central theme. God will give us everything we need for life and for godliness. But this is mostly about Jesus. If we have him, we have all we need for life and for godliness. Later down in the chapter in verse 15, it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. This is how we know someone is speaking from God, whether their spirit is truly the Spirit of God speaking to us or not. It is whether they are speaking of God and of Jesus correctly. We need to try the spirits. We need to be careful who we listen to. There are many, many, many false prophets, and a fair few of them have found their way onto the internet or onto the TV or radio, and they are happy to pretend to be Christian, to pretend to speak for God. But if they do not proclaim Christ as he is, we should not listen to them. In fact, we should be hesitant to just accept anything that is told to us by someone, especially if we have not heard what they think of Christ, Jesus, our Lord. And only accept what they say if it lines up, not with a verse, but with the Scripture. Not with a phrase out of the Bible, but with the whole totality of what Scripture is teaching. When they are giving you what the Bible is teaching rather than just a misquote here or there. The Spirit of God is something that we should be looking for, that we should be seeing in our life, and we should be rejoicing in when others bring messages of truth and hope to us. And so the challenge is, be on guard. Don't believe every spirit. Try the spirits and know your Jesus. Know your Jesus so well that when someone pretends to speak for him but does not speak the truth, we immediately recognize it is not right and say, that's not good. That must be the spirit of Antichrist. Let's close now with a word of prayer.